Okay, good morning. Today's class is Refuah Shleima Devorah Bar Frida, Rachel Bar Frida, and Esther Bar Frida, and also Refuah Shleima of Rav Shalom Ben Yavne and Madoni Ben Sara, Le'unishmat Yochanan Diana Ben Gedalia, and Le'unishmat Rav Siam Benema, also Le'unishmat Rav Zohar Wallerstein, and Bizrat Hashem, also Refuah Shleima of Chanabat Adel. Success of Elisha Ben Avak, Adil Ben Elisheva, Shefron Elisheva, Emily Shan Reina Malkav Tova Basha. May 17th, big event in New York. Very, very few tickets left, if any. And God willing, that's going to be in Manhattan at Park East. What other announcements do I have? Okay, that's the announcement. Today is a very, very powerful day. Today represents the energy of Netzach Shebenetzach. Let me just give you a little bit of my morning today. Yesterday I pulled my back at the gym. And I woke up with like a sinus infection. So I'm like, I'm in bed, my body hurts, and I can't breathe. So the first thing you want to do is just stay in bed. You know, it's the easiest move. But I said to myself, today's Netzach should have been Netzach. There's no way I could stay in bed on a day like this. So I jolted out of bed, and heaven gave me a gift and gave me a great concept. So after, you know, one thing is to get out of bed, and another thing is to come up with a class. I mean, you can understand mentally, one thing's getting out of bed, next thing you know, oh my God, I have to also play in a class when I'm not in the greatest mood. But that's the whole thing. Your creator gives you. Once a person makes a sacrifice and he battles, the rest your creator gives to you. So I said to myself, what does this energy of today represent? Netzach, shenetzach. And I was thinking about Stephen Covey's book that came to me, Think Win-Win. It's the fourth step. Think Win-Win. This is a huge concept. Think Win-Win. We're gonna take this concept and see how it applies to our lives, and really pretty much applies to everything. When we're praying, anytime we're praying for ourselves, we're really also praying for the sake of the Shekhinah. For example, if I work on myself, let's say I have more trust in God, that gives me a victory, because all of a sudden I'm going to be able to attract better things in my life. And in heaven, they get pleasure for you, for a person overcoming his ego. So not only am I winning, but also they're winning in heaven also. When a person has Shalom Bayit, what is Shalom Bayit all about? Shalom Bayit is about you winning, you have peace in your house, it's going to draw blessing, and your wife is winning. She feels like she's number one in your life. Who's, both of you are winning, you understand? Every decision you need to think about is win-win. Am I winning? If I'm winning, who else is winning? If it's just you're winning and that person's losing, it's never, never going to work out. So thinking win-win, it's not just about you winning, it's about everybody winning. That is the best form of victory that you can have. And we're going to take this concept many, many ways. For example, let's say you start treating yourself better. Can we safely assume that the way we treat others is the way we feel about ourselves? Yes, yes. Usually the way you feel about yourself is how you treat others. If you're in a good mood, you treat others in a good mood. I know when I'm not in the greatest mood, I snap at people, I get irritable, I say things I shouldn't say. It's not because something's wrong with them, it's because my issues usually get dumped on other people. When I'm not in a good mood, I try to monitor that extremely. But when you're in a good state, all of a sudden, for example, you show up with self-esteem in a relationship, your relationship is going to flourish. But when you show up in low self-esteem, what are you saying? You don't love me enough, you're not there for me, nothing you do for me, blah, blah, blah. All you want to do is you're self-centered, you destroy the relationship. So when you work on self-esteem, not only are you working on it for yourself, but you're working on it for the relationship. But when you have low self-esteem, what do you have to give in a relationship? Nothing. So thinking today is about win-win. So let's say I work on myself, I treat others well. I treat myself well, I'll treat others well. But when I don't treat myself well, lose-lose. The ego wants you to do is, the ego is all about lose-lose. Another example of this could be, for example, you want to give charity, right? Charity, when you trust in God, who wins when you give charity? You win because you're getting the benefit from giving the charity. The person that received gets the charity. He's also winning because you're helping him. So who's winning? You and him. But what does fear do? No, don't give it away. How do you know he's worth it? Maybe he's a he's a false. Maybe his relation. Maybe his cause is false. So anytime we have fear, who loses? You. You're not giving the charity, and he doesn't lose the charity. You understand the concept? The whole concept is every single decision you should make. How can I win-win? How can I create a double victory? This is the fourth step of Stephen Covey's book. Is by making the customer happy, you're making also the business happy. You're doing it for both of you. I can't sit there and say, I'm spiritually, for example, let's say I'm on a spiritual level, my spouse is not on a spiritual level. I can say, okay, as long as I'm there and they're there, who cares? I just have to worry about myself. That is the number one no-no. It's the whole concept. Both of you have to win. So one of you has to come down and build rapport and lift the other person up. But you cannot have a situation in your relationship where it's win-win. So sometimes you can either be right or be in love, but you usually cannot be both. Maybe if you're in LA, LA is a whole different rules over there. You know, it's funny, when I said, B'zrat Hashem, Mashiach should come this year, even in LA they want Mashiach, so that's a good sign. That's a good sign. They said amen to it. So even that's definitely a good sign. What does Reb Nachman tell us in the morning? He says, as soon as we wake up in the morning, the first thing you have to do is judge yourself favorably. Do you know why? Because the morning itself is a time for a lot of heaviness. The mornings are heavy. You don't want to get up. You're thinking about the day. You're facing the day. So what do you think our sages told us? As soon as you wake up in the morning, you have to wake up and always pick the right over the left. Even when you get dressed, you should put your right shirt over the left, because you have to focus on your good points. You have to judge yourself favorably, because if I'm not judging myself favorably in the morning, what do you think is going to happen? I'm going to end up in bed. So judging myself favorably, Reb Nathan says in Likutei Tefillos, says when a person judges, loving yourself and being kind to yourself and judging yourself favorably helps you find Hashem and receive His bounty. So you're winning both ways. Do you understand? You're winning both ways. When you're judging yourself favorably, your Creator judges you favorably. You know why? Because when you're judging yourself favorably, how are you going to judge others? Favorably. And guess who wins? Everybody wins. What are we mourning in the time of these 24,000 students? These were 24,000 students that were Torah scholars. Yet they didn't judge each other favorably. They didn't show honor for each other. So what did God do? Destroy them. So you can see, you look at the big picture. You're not winning. You could be learning, but if you're learning of whatever you're doing is not making the world better, if it's just self-centered, if it's just for your ego so you could be intelligent, that is not doing anything for anybody. So you always should pray. You should learn in order to give. It's just your intention. If I learn something, it should be in order to give it. This is why our sages advised that we should have people, friends and students, that we should always be able to give that ideas to. Because when you give that idea, what happens? Your Creator gives you more ideas. And you're always receiving in order to give. But when you're learning just so you can have a big ego, you can argue a Gemara in front of a guy, who benefits from that? Nothing. This is why people have such a hard time with prayer. You see why people can learn. A lot of people can be very learned. You can see a guy learning 7-8 hours Gemara, but when it comes to prayer, he can't even open up his heart in 5 minutes. He can't even open up it, because prayer is there's no ego in prayer. There's no ego. It's you and your Creator. Sometimes when I learn, I could do it for the wrong reason, and I could do it so people could think I'm smart to make up for my low self-esteem. Oh, look at how smart this guy. Look at his language. Look. It could be an ego base. It could not be soul-based. But when you're praying, you know what's happening when you're praying? You're actually, there's a Gemara that says, whoever sustains his Father in heaven, he himself is sustaining. Your Father in heaven wants you to sustain him, so he sustains you. Again, win-win. I'm winning by sustaining him, and he's sustaining me. It's a mutual relationship. But any time the ego gets, for example, giving charity, I don't want to give charity, I'm afraid I'm going to lose it. You lose, they lose. Any time the ego gets involved in your marriage, I want to be right, I don't care. Who loses? You lose, because at the end of the day, yes, you're right, but you don't have peace. So at the end of the day, you end up losing, because then your Creator is not even in your relationship. This is why the biggest vessel is shalom. This is why our sages tell us, put the mezuzah slanted. Be flexible in life. Because you cannot, shalom bayit is all about everybody winning. But I don't have to win My ego is telling me I need to win. No. Your spouse has to win. And then your creator makes you win. Very important concept. And this is why your intention is the most important thing that you do. A lot of times we don't have our intentions right. Our intentions are not correct. We don't have. This is why we're not getting what we're getting. Our intentions, because remember, what does your intention really say about you? You're real, are you honest or not? Your intention's everything. Do you have good intentions? Even I can apologize to somebody, but I'm just apologizing because I don't want to hear it anymore. That's not, the intention is honest. So when you have good intentions, you usually end up getting a double victory. A double victory. You win, your creator wins. What do you think would happen to your life when you start all of a sudden waking up earlier? You're going to be having more success, and you're going to be more successful. Both wins. But the job of the ego is to make you lose-lose. That's the job of the ego. Lose-lose. Rav Nachman says this in lesson 119. He says, when a person requires compassion, God sends him compassion so that he can show compassion for others. As a result, he's getting compassion. Our sages teach us, whoever shows compassion for God's creatures, he himself is shown compassion. As it is written, he will give you compassion and you will be compassionate. You understand? And this is why our sages tell us we have to feed our animals before we eat. Because right now, you need compassion. So when you feed your animals before you eat, you're showing them compassion, and then God gives you compassion. So think about this concept. If I work on myself, but I work on my self-esteem, I'm going to treat others better. Because I treat others better, my creator will judge me on how I treat people. Double victory. But if you don't work on yourself, you don't treat others well, because you're just venting out your frustration, you're venting out your insecurities, you're venting out your fears to the world. And what happens? You treat people terrible, and then your creator treats you terrible. He just treats you exactly the way you treat people. So we have to look at situations where if our relationships are all turning sour and everything's turning sour, this is a major shift. Not to blame others, but saying, what kind of energy am I attracting? What kind of people am I attracting? Am I holding by this? Is this fear-based? Am I doing this out of insecurity? Am I putting up walls out of fear? This is a very, very important area. If our intentions are not there, we don't end up getting the results. And this is why there's a Gemara in Brachot that says, when somebody lacks that, it's forbidden to show him compassion. For he has no dot. He has no compassion. Same thing. When we don't have compassion for ourselves, how can God show you compassion? How can God show you compassion? He can't give you compassion. That means if you are very, very stuck and you're stuck on a mindset and you're very stubborn, you can't get compassion because you don't have compassion for yourself. You don't have compassion for yourself. If you know you're struggling with something and you're not praying for it, then you don't have compassion for yourself. Why would God give you compassion? I mean, this is really the law of attraction. This is really the law of attraction. There's another Gemara that says that there's a Gemara that spoke about the difference between why Rabbi Yishmael got his prayers, why Rabbi Akiva got his prayers answered, and why Rabbi Yishmael did not get his prayers answered. And there was a bar call from heaven that said they were both just as equal in greatness. But the difference was Rabbi Akiva was very easily forgiven. He forgave people easily. So what happens? He forgave people easily. In heaven, they forgave him easily. His prayers were answered. So basically, this is really the law of attraction. The law of attraction is really the energy you put out there. But again, why in the world will I not treat people well? Why would I not be compassionate to people? Why am I judging them? If I know judgment is going to hurt me, if I know if I'm judging him, I automatically get hurt. Why in the world would I do that? Think about it. Because we lack that. We lack that. We lack that. We're not growing. So what happens? The ego takes over. But you have it very simple. Something has to be in the pit. It's either water or snakes and scorpions. You can't just walk in this world and say, okay, I'm not going to have any spirituality, but I'm going to be a good person. It's not possible. You need something. You need Torah. You need something to give you that. Because when you don't have that, what do you think is going to come into it? And this is where today you see a world of nothing but projection. You see a world of projection. You see the world. Nobody's taking responsibility because they don't feel good about themselves. So they just need people to blame to make up for their low self-esteem, to make them comfortable, and etc. And this is why the same thing people tell you. I don't fear you love me. Do you love yourself? No. So when you don't love yourself, you never think anybody loves you. When you love yourself, you'll recognize people love you. But when there's no way a person could do everything for you. They could buy you the Eiffel Tower. But if you don't love yourself, you're going to say, well, you just did it to make me happy. What else do you want? You want to buy you the Mona Lisa? Do you understand the problem is not the physical things. The problem is that person doesn't love himself. So he says, if I don't love myself, why should anybody else love me? So you see the problem with this concept? Every relationship is going to be screwed up. Because you're going in there with low self-esteem, and you're almost saying these people, that person's not doing it for good intentions. What will you do? Let me throw in the sabotage, so I'll be the one to ruin the relationship. I can't tell you how many times I see this, and the worst thing you could do is be closed-minded, because then you lose, your creator loses, everybody loses, everybody loses, everybody loses. So this is something you really, really need to understand this. How can I get a double victory? Shalom Bayit, number one. When my wife says, do not text, do not this, nothing to talk about. End the story. Because if I can't win at home, I'm not going to win on the road. Period. I'm not thinking about, I need to help people. But I can lose. I'm really losing, because at the end of the day, if I don't have clarity and I don't have peace of mind, I can't come up with classes, period. So you always have to think about that. You always have to say, how do I, and that's what we call in Kabbalah, a tzimtzum, a contraction. You're actually contracting in order for an expansion to happen, right? I need to contract my space in order to create space for another person. But if my space is so full, then what space is for somebody else? Understand? What space is there for somebody else? And when you win-win, this is why the Gemara tells us that Parnassa comes to a guy on account of his wife. Why his wife? It should say on his business. Because if the guy did so much work to have Shalom Bayit, he deserves to have Parnassa. He deserves to have Parnassa. He's giving her light. Remember, the more light you give her, you're just getting a bounce back of that light. You're just getting the light right back to you. But when there's no light, so what happens when you criticize? You don't give any light. Maybe you feel good about yourself that you've vented your frustrations. She's not getting light. This is why our sages say, don't be cheap. As a husband should never be cheap. Because if he's cheap, he creates fear in his wife. That shuts off the feminine energy. And then she can't give him the bounce back. Because she usually depends on her husband. And the husband has to depend on Hashem. But if the guy is not depending, he doesn't have a relationship with Hashem, then he's going to tell her, stop buying this, being cheap out of fear. And then he loses, because now he can't draw Shefa. And then she loses also. Everybody loses. I can't tell you how many times that happens. The guy loses his emunah, he loses his bitachon. Next thing you know, he criticizes his wife about every little thing she's spending. Why are you spending this? Why are you getting this? You have struggles with money, you take your problem up with your creator. Don't vent it to your wife. That's a weakness. It's just like the team losing. Oh, that player's not playing enough. Do you understand the ego's job is just to create nothing but problems? Makes you lose. There's a lot of problem today. We have a very lose-lose mentality. And we think we're winning at the end of the day. You're not winning. The same thing when I tell guys, 40-day challenge. Why do I tell you the 40-day challenge? Because the more you get distracted with the wrong girls, the less likely you're going to be able to commit when the right girl comes. End the story. So every single time you're getting distracted with the wrong girls, it's going to be harder and harder enough for you to make that decision when the right girl comes. That's called a klipa. You're actually losing. You think you're winning because you have low self-esteem and you're getting all these girls and girls. Oh, look, I had a new girl. You're actually losing. And guess what? Your soulmate is losing too, because now you're not going to find her. You both lost. But you think you're winning. You have a couple nice pictures, a couple of this. You're losing. And in heaven, you're losing too, by the way. You're losing all across the board. But it looks like you're winning in this world. It looks like you're winning in this world. That's what Rabbi Nachman really showed us. When you get to Rabbi Nachman's teachings, you start getting major awareness in life. And you start saying, wow. Either people love Rabbi Nachman's teachings or they run away from it. You know why? Because there's so much truth in your face that you're like, okay. Either I look at it, it's going to hurt me, and I got to just deal with it. Or I just say, oh, this breast of stuff is crazy. Rabbi Nachman crazy. Knocks and Mishugah. You understand? You're either saying, okay, I either make a right turn or a left turn. Either I criticize it and say this is just a bunch of nonsense. Or I say, oh my God, the truth hurts, but it will set you free. That's a decision you have to make in your life. There's these major decisions in your life. When I picked up the book Advice, I had to make a decision. It was right in my face, and I could say, this is back then, not now. God knows I can't, that's not realistic now. I could have made up any excuse. This is why we all need massive humility. We all need massive humility. But the intention why we're not getting what we're not getting, it's usually because, remember, think about this concept. When I tell you, you're going to have a better chance of getting a soulmate if you pray not to sin, then actually pray for your soulmate. Because if you pray not to sin, what's going to happen? You're actually giving heaven pleasure, because heaven doesn't want you to sin. You're actually winning in heaven. So what happens when you win in heaven? Heaven makes you win. You understand? This is where the pasuk says, when you follow God's will, when you make His will your will, He will make His will your will. But when you go against His will, He will make everything in your life against His will. Lose, lose, win, win. Isn't it true in part of negotiations we have to make the customer sound like he got a great deal? Right? Isn't that all negotiation all about? You have to, if the customer feels like they're getting a bad deal, anytime you complain to a hotel, anytime, they have to make sure that they know they got some kind of benefit out of it. You have to show them a win. All customer service is making the customer happy. Right? Customer's not happy, he's not going to refer people. And people will be smart, and they know, I have to make the customer happy, because if I don't make the customer happy, and 80% of my business is based on referrals, then I am losing. But if I say, and I never forgot this concept, when we had electronic stores in downtown Miami, we had 5 stores at the time, and this is when I started, this is really the lesson I got in life, when I was working from 10 to 16, I worked more hours in Vietnam, I think. I overworked the people working in Vietnam. My, forget about child labor laws of that. That was back then. Obviously, 2022, you're lucky if you show up to work. But that was my education, by the way. My education was no summer camp, no baseball. You're working in business from 10 to 16. And all day long. It was just, the hours were brutal. And I have no idea why I was there for so long. That's what my uncle said, here, this is what you need to do. And it was the greatest lesson. What I've learned in those years changed my whole life, obviously. But we had there was so much psychology there and so many different personalities. And we would be very, very busy. And you would have one salesman, and he was a very good salesman, this guy. But you know what he would do? If a customer returned merchandise, you would have 100 customers in the store. He would be yelling at this customer in front of 100 customers. And we told him, shut the you-know-what up. Shut up. There's 100 customers here. He didn't care. He wanted to be right. Yes, he was right. The customer was wrong. But at the end of the day, what are you losing? You're losing because next thing you know, that customer's unhappy and you have 100 people, 100 opportunity costs that you're losing. So look at you're really losing. And that's where we don't see it. We don't see the big picture. when the Yetzer Hara is all focusing on now, a drug addiction, that's it. I can get high now, but I'm going to lose later. So what is all this about? Delayed gratification. Delayed gratification is a double victory. Why? You have short term, you don't give in to the impulses, you build self-control, and you end up becoming more successful. This is the marshmallow theory by Walter Mischel. He created a marshmallow experience, showed that people that had delayed gratification were much more successful across the street. People that were impulsive, they didn't really win, they lost. Because now they don't have a mechanism in order to have, when anybody have a craving, give it to me now concept. And this ended up becoming, destroying their lives across their lives. So number one, think about when you pray, pray for heaven's sake. Don't pray for money, pray for trust. You win both, because if you have more trust, you have more bitachon, you're going to end up becoming more successful. Pray for purity instead of a soulmate. You have more purity, you're going to attract a soulmate. Heaven wants you to be pure. So heaven will give you. You're going to win both ways because you're going to end up getting your soulmate. You're going to end up attracting money when you give that. Or pray that you should be able to give a lot of charity. So what happens if you pray that you're going to give a lot of charity and you give a lot of charity? Then God has to give you more money to give charity. You see the difference? Now you're not praying selfish. I need more money. I need a soulmate. That's really for you. It's not. What does heaven need for that? Okay, so you have more money, you're going to be able, like the example we gave yesterday. The guy wanting to lose weight so he can go and cheat on his wife. I mean, that's not, who's winning? He's winning, but the God's losing if he goes cheats on his wife. Okay, maybe he's winning, but that's not the answer. The intentions are not there. So before you ask for something in heaven, before you're requesting something, before you're taking on something, ask, is heaven winning also? Is the Shekhinah winning? Is the winning Shekhinah winning also? Versus just you winning. A prayer that says, please Hashem, make my wife nicer. That's you winning. That's not... A better prayer would be, creator of the world, please remove any hatred from my heart and let me see only the good in people. Who wins? You win, and that person wins. See the difference in the prayer? What are you? You're in the mafia? Just knock out that person for me. That's not the way. You can't ask your creator, just wipe out difficult people from my life. What are you calling the mafia? This is not a mafia. You're asking heaven to let you see the good points in that person, to remove yourself the hatred from that person. Then you're both winning, because you're going to be more merciful. And then because you gave mercy to a difficult person, now your creator has to give you mercy. It's obvious. All of this is obvious, but when we're not aware and we're so ego-driven and we're so angry and we're in our head, you can't think straight and you make stupid moves. And you're impulsive. This is why anger is the loss of da'at. You lose your da'at. When you have anger, you know what happens? You lose your da'at. You lose your brain gets thrown out. It's thrown out. You lose it. And it takes you 4 to 5 hours to recover your head. So this is why you need some time to contemplate. And if I am not succeeding in this area, it's because usually there's a selfishness to it. There's not a win-win situation. There's not a double netzah. But when I have both people aligned, the better answer is, Hashem, you have a shalom bayit issue, you have a relationship issue. Creator of the world, you've told us that you are not in our house when there's fire. I want you back in my house. Tell me what I need to do to fix the situation. Whatever I need to do, I will do. I want you to be happy, and I want my wife to be happy. Who's going to win? You. Happy wife, happy life. How many times have we heard that? Simcha. Why do we have to have simcha? Because when you do a mitzvah with simcha, you know what happens? You give your creator tremendous pleasure. If you're struggling in something, and you still are finding a way to be happy, and you're fighting the ego, you're fighting the Yetzer Hara, you know, you just gave your creator happiness because you fought against the Yetzer Hara. Remember, the Yetzer Hara has to be created, and Hashem has to allow the Yetzer Hara to do his thing, because otherwise there would be no free will. So we think, why am I getting so difficult? Why is this so difficult? Why am I having such a hard time? Because otherwise, you'd be working out in a gym with styrofoam. What is that going to do? Imagine going to the gym, styrofoam weights. It would be a complete joke. Nobody would be stronger. Everybody would just be lifting styrofoam. And everybody would be like, what are you doing here? I don't know, lifting styrofoam. You can't make muscle with styrofoam. You can only make muscle with resistance. And that's the Yetzirah's job, is resistance. Just like I got out of bed this morning, I did not want to get out of bed. Physically, mentally, I couldn't breathe. That was a win. But you know what? I won that twice. I beat the Yetzirah, and I got a reward for it because I gave a class afterwards. This is just an example in areas of your life. If you're not winning, it's because you're self-centered in that area. And we have to ask ourselves, we need to put our Creator in the win. Rabbi Brody once walked home with me on Shul. So he says, you want a great segula, not to worry about business, just sell your business to God. And you just manage it. How much easier would your life be? Pretty easy. Sell your business to God and you just manage it. Would you be upset? Would you have a hard time giving charity? No, you would be like, I'm just a possessor. I don't own it. I just possess. I control the business. How much easier would your day be? How much more bitachon would you have? You have a whole different life. So let's starve the ego, feed the soul, and create a double victory today. Have a great day.
Question. So you're saying that you